Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origin Podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we're diving into some really fascinating research on colorectal cancer treatment.
Yeah, and this one's, it's kind of a big deal. We're talking about why chemotherapy works for some patients, but not others, which is, you know, the million-dollar question in cancer treatment.
Absolutely. So this study focuses on FOLFIRI. That's a combination of two drugs, 5-fluorouracil and irinotecan, which is like a standard treatment for metastatic colorectal cancer. But here's the thing. It only works in about half of patients.
Right. And that's the problem, isn't it? You've got patients going through these really toxic treatments, and we don't have great ways to predict who's actually going to benefit.
Exactly. So what these researchers did was pretty clever. They used patient-derived xenografts, basically PDXs, which are tumor samples from patients that are grown in mice. They tested FOLFIRI on 127 different models.
Okay, so they're essentially creating this mini clinical trial in mice, but with way more control over the variables.
Yeah, exactly. And what they found was this huge range of responses.
Some tumors just kept growing. Those were resistant.
Others stabilized, and about 12% actually shrank significantly.
So that mirrors what we see in actual patients then?
Totally. The response rates matched up really well with clinical data. But here's where it gets interesting. They did all this molecular profiling on these tumors to figure out what makes them sensitive or resistant.
And what did they find? Like, what's different between the tumors that respond and the ones that don't?
So the resistant tumors showed upregulation of genes related to innate immunity and inflammation. Things like interferon response pathways. The sensitive tumors, on the other hand, had this signature related to cell proliferation and DNA repair defects.
Wait, DNA repair defects make them more sensitive? That seems counterintuitive at first, right?
It does, but it actually makes sense when you think about it.
These chemotherapy drugs work by damaging DNA. If your tumor can't repair that damage effectively, the treatment is more likely to kill the cancer cells.
Ah, okay. So it's like, if the tumor's repair machinery is broken, it can't recover from the chemotherapy attack.
Exactly. And this is where the BRCNS concept comes in. You've probably heard of BRCA mutations in breast and ovarian cancer.
Yeah, those are the genes that Angelina Jolie made famous, right? The hereditary cancer genes.
Right. Well, BRCA genes are involved in something called homologous recombination, which is a major DNA repair pathway. When these genes are mutated, tumors become more sensitive to certain treatments. That's called BRCA-ness.
Okay, so did these colorectal tumors have BRCA mutations then?
Here's the really interesting part. No. They looked for mutations in 44 different DNA repair genes, including BRCA1 and BRCA2, and they didn't find a clear pattern. Most mutations were heterozygous, meaning only one copy was affected, and many were of uncertain significance.
So, they have the BRCA-ness phenotype without the actual BRCA mutations? How does that work?
That's the million-dollar discovery here. They found that sensitive tumors had these genomic scars, signs of defective DNA repair, but it wasn't caused by genetic mutations. Instead, it came down to the expression level of a protein called RAD51.
RAD51. What does that do?
It's basically the key enzyme in homologous recombination. It's like the master repair technician. When DNA breaks, RAD51 comes in and helps fix it. What they found was that tumors with low RAD51 expression were way more sensitive to FOLFIRI.
So if you don't have enough of this repair protein, you can't fix the DNA damage from chemotherapy, and the tumor dies. That's actually pretty elegant.
It really is, and they validated this in multiple ways. They showed that tumors with low RAD51 accumulated more DNA damage after treatment. They even did experiments where they artificially increased RAD51 in sensitive tumor cells, and guess what? It made them resistant.
Wow. So that's like proof of causation, not just correlation.
Exactly. And then they found another marker, POLD1, which is another DNA repair protein. High POLD1 was associated with sensitivity,
while low-pulled one was linked to resistance. So now you've got two biomarkers.
Okay, but here's what I'm wondering. This is all in mice, right? Does it actually translate to patients?
Great question. And yes, they did a clinical validation study called IRIS with 82 metastatic colorectal cancer patients. They looked at RAD51 and POLD1 expression in tumor samples before treatment.
And?
It held up. Patients with low RAD51 tumors were much more likely to respond to FOLFIRI. About 63% of low RAD51 patients responded, compared to only 37% of high RAD51 patients. And when they combined RAD51 and POLD1, looking at patients with low RAD51 and high POLD1, the prediction was even better. About 82% of those patients responded.
That's actually really good for a biomarker. I mean, 82% predictive accuracy could really change how we treat patients.
Absolutely. And here's the other cool part. They also explored therapeutic implications. If high RAD51 is driving resistance, what if you could block it?
Oh, so like targeting the resistance mechanism itself?
Exactly. They tested an ATM inhibitor. ATM is another protein in the DNA repair pathway. And when they combined it with FOLFIRI in resistant tumors, it made them sensitive again. The tumors that didn't respond to chemotherapy alone started responding when you blocked their ability to repair DNA.
That's incredible. So you could potentially use this biomarker approach in two ways: to identify who will respond to standard treatment, and to figure out who might benefit from adding a DNA repair inhibitor.
Precisely. And this kind of precision medicine approach is really where oncology is heading. Instead of giving everyone the same treatment and hoping for the best, we can actually match patients to therapies based on the biology of their tumor.
So just to recap for our listeners, we're talking about a study that identified why some colorectal cancers respond to chemotherapy and others don't. The key finding is that it comes down to DNA repair capacity, specifically the levels of proteins like RAD51 and POLD1. And this has been validated in actual patients, not just in a lab.
Right. And the practical takeaway is that doctors could potentially test for these biomarkers before starting treatment, which would help them predict who's going to benefit and who might need a different approach. Plus, there are potential new treatment combinations for patients who wouldn't normally respond.
This is the kind of research that could really make a difference in people's lives. I mean, colorectal cancer is the third most common cancer globally, right?
Yeah, and it's the second leading cause of cancer deaths worldwide. So anything that can help us better target treatment and spare patients from ineffective therapy, that's huge.
Absolutely. Well, Alex, thanks for breaking this down with me. This was really fascinating stuff.
Always a pleasure, Jamie. And thanks to everyone listening to the Origene podcast. If you found this interesting, make sure to subscribe and check out our other episodes on cutting-edge research.
Until next time, stay curious.
See you next time.